Cindy was a baby girl. First learned to talk and to sing. You know how the little kids do. One of the first songs she ever learned to sing was To Be Like Jesus. And she'd stand on the hearth in the living room. She'd take her little skirt, put it in her mouth like that, and she'd sing, To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like Him. All through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like Him. Someone wrote that amazing song, Oh, to be like Thee, Blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like Thee, pure as Thou art. Come in Thy sweetness. Come in Thy goodness. Stamp Thine own image deep on my heart. I'm afraid, however, that when we see Him, we often do not recognize Him. I suspect there are hundreds of reflections of Christ in this room tonight. But you see, we get so adjusted to each other. We get so commonplace that we see each other's faults rather than our Christ-likeness. And those who see us casually for a week in pastor school see us from a quite different view. While they glance at us and are gone, we gaze at each other. They see our goodness, we see our evil. They see our positive, we see our negative. They see our spirituality, and we see each other's devilment. They see our Christian growth, and we see our flaws. They see our perfection, we see our imperfection. They see our love, we see our hate. We see each other as we are. I'm afraid that in this type of church, where we see each other so often, and where we have this interaction, we're together on Sunday morning in Sunday school, and on Sunday morning in the preaching hour, and in some case on Sunday afternoon at the youth center and the bus ministry, back on Sunday night at 6 o'clock hour, and on Sunday night at 7 o'clock preaching service, and Monday morning, several thousand of us go to our schools, and we see each other, and we see each other, we see the real each other. I'm afraid it's not easy for us not to really see the true beauty of the lives of people in this room. We're to be like Jesus. One area where we'd be like Him is in our work. In John 14:12, He said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. When you see someone out soul winning, you see Jesus, for he's doing the work that Jesus did. In John 20:21, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. In John 17:18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. There's a way that you can work, do the work that Jesus did, and be like Jesus in his work. I see Jesus on Saturday morning when I come to the office. I get in the office a bit late on Saturday morning. I usually get here about 7:30 on Saturday morning. And that's a bit later than usual. But I see Jesus before I get out of my car on Saturday morning. I see Him in the lives of little ladies who have babies with the zero weather and the babies covered up with blankets. And as they get out of cars and rush inside and place the baby in a nursery, to go out and spend all morning or much of the day knocking on doors and winning souls to Jesus Christ. I see Jesus in those ladies in the foster club. I see Jesus in those ladies who go out on Friday morning, come up here Friday morning, and leave their babies in the nursery and go out, I mean, whether it's cold or hot, whether it's raining or sleeting or below zero or a summer hot scorching day, it doesn't matter. They're always here. And I see Jesus when I see them. I see Jesus in a small group of men on Friday night who meet here to go out soul winning, giving of their Friday evening, one of the busiest of all the evenings, and one of the best of all the evenings, I guess, to be at home, to go out up and down the streets and have people slam doors in their faces and laugh at them and ridicule them and and call them nuts and so forth. I see Jesus in those men. I see Jesus in that army of bus workers that get up on Saturday morning and come to the bus workers' meetings and spend hour upon hour out knocking on doors, hot or cold or zero, and it matters not. I see Jesus in that great army of bus workers giving up their Saturdays to go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. I see Jesus in that group of men on Saturday morning meeting at a restaurant for breakfast, and then getting instruction. And as a fisherman's club, going out to blanket this area with the gospel witness for Jesus Christ. I see Jesus in those men. I see Jesus in those Spanish-speaking people that come here on Saturday morning and meet for a while. Those ladies, Spanish-speaking ladies, and those Spanish-speaking men who come here and meet for a while and go all over this area, in the areas where people only speak the Spanish language, and tell folks the story of Jesus Christos and the salvation that we have in Him. I see Jesus in those people. For you see, ladies and gentlemen, when we do the work of God and the work that Jesus did, we become like Jesus. For He said, as the Father sent me, even so send I you. I see Jesus. I see Jesus in those deaf folks back here who get in those vans and go out and look for deaf people and tell them about Jesus Christ. I see Jesus in those blind people who are looking over this great Chicago area for all the blind folks they can to tell them about Jesus Christ. I see Jesus in the great crowd of dedicated Hiles Anderson College students. A lot of you folks don't know this, but to stay in Hiles Anderson College, you have to go soul winning every week. That's a requirement, like getting out of bed in the morning. You've got to go soul winning every week. We'll ship you home if you don't, you see. And you say, oh, that's legalism. No, they'd go anyway, but we just encourage them, you know, like the hornets did in the Old Testament. We encourage them to go. And you may not know this, but every professor and every teacher and every cook and every secretary and every custodian and every ground worker in Hiles Anderson College goes soul winning every week. And every teacher in Hammond Baptist High School and City Baptist High School and Hammond Baptist Junior High School and Hammond Baptist Grade School goes soul winning every week. I see Jesus and that great army of college students spreading across this area, telling folks the gospel of Jesus for the works that He did, they're doing. And as they leave to go up and down, these young college students, these folks who are studying to serve God and give their lives to God, I see Jesus in them. I see Jesus in that great crowd of teenagers at noon on Saturday, every week now, for these, how many years, Doc, have we had teenage soul winning? 9 years. Every week for 9 years. Dozens and dozens and scores and often several hundred. The finest teenagers in this world go out and knock on doors and go to shopping centers and street corners and spread the story of Jesus Christ. Let's talk about Jesus. The King of Kings is He. The Lord of Lords supreme through all eternity. The great I Am, the way, the truth, the life, the door. Let's talk about Jesus more and more. I see Jesus in those who work like Jesus did. I don't say this much. I never said it to Dave. I always hoped that Dave would be a preacher. I gave him to God when he was born and said, God, make Dave a preacher. I prayed for him every day of his life that God would make him a preacher. I never told him that. I never said, son, I want you to be a preacher. For the honest truth is, I would have been proud of him if he'd been a good attorney or a good steel mill worker or a good plumber or a good carpenter. But somehow I wanted to be a preacher because I am a preacher. And I guess every man would like to see a son follow in his footsteps and do his work. And I prayed and prayed and prayed every day that God would make him a preacher. I'll never forget that night up in Fairbanks, Alaska, when I was to speak there at the Hamilton Acres Baptist Church in Fairbanks, Alaska. And the pastor there stood up and said, folks, I never thought Dr. Jack Hiles would be in my pulpit. And he was very gracious and kind. Now he said, Dr. Hiles here to speak tonight. But before Dr. Hiles speaks, we have another guest speaker. His son, Dave Hiles, is going to speak. And I sit on the platform. And I, for the first time, shared a pulpit with my son. Oh, the joy that swelled in my soul as I stopped to realize the work that his dad had done through these years, now he's doing. Ah, what a blessed... I pray every Monday night before I go preach, I pray for Dave. He's preaching somewhere tomorrow night. I'm preaching somewhere tomorrow night. Before I go in the pulpit, the last thing I do, I say, God, bless old Dave tonight, wherever he is, and don't let him preach as good as I do, and so forth. I pray for him. Now... You know something about that. Brother Sullivan has been a tavern keeper, and looks like his boy is going to be the same thing. And so following in his dad's footsteps and so forth. But I'm saying, wonder how God must feel or how Jesus must feel. God looks down and says, hey, look at my people. They're doing my work. If I love to see my boy do my work, then don't you think the Heavenly Father loves to see His children doing His work? I see Jesus in something else. I see Him in service, the service that our folks do here. John 13:14, our Lord said, if I, then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. In verse 15 he said, for I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done unto you. I see Jesus in the work of our people. I also see Jesus in the service our people do. I see Jesus in the custodians as they labor here in pastor school this week. I see Jesus so often as I walk in this auditorium while it's empty. I'll see Stan Wojcik go back here maybe polishing the windows on these doors. All right, he won't know I'm there, and I'll watch him as he diligently goes about his work. No boss, nobody tell him what to do, nobody to oversee him. I see Jesus there as he does his work. I see Jesus and these dressing room people up here who go up there Sunday morning and Sunday night and fight crowds of people to get baptized and try to get everybody a robe and everybody a towel and get the folks all ready for baptism. And sometimes the room is hot and stuffy up there. I see Jesus in those people that go up there week after week after week and do his bidding. I see Jesus in the errand runners this week who ran errands here. And all these other people I mentioned a while ago, I see Jesus in them. I saw Jesus in the maintenance maidens, and I saw Jesus in the nurses, and I saw Jesus in the parking lot attendants, and I saw Jesus in the nursery workers, and I saw Jesus in these good PA men up here who were here for every session and kept the PA going and so forth. I saw Jesus in them. I see Jesus in these ushers who are so faithful and these choir members who come week after week and present the music and work so hard. I see Jesus in Ray Boardway and the work that he does in his marvelous, humble way. I see Jesus in the staff ladies who've done such a marvelous job this week, and the men on the staff, but the ladies who have their houses to take care of, and the children to rear, and the meals to cook, and the dishes to wash, and the clothes to wash, and yet they've done their work so beautifully. I see Jesus in them. I see Jesus in the Blue Berets, those young ladies who cheered everybody here this week, and especially their preacher. I saw Jesus in them. I see Jesus in the Sunday afternoon group that sits days down here on Sunday afternoon while you're home eating or resting or enjoying the afternoon with your family. I see Jesus in those workers that get those bus kids from the ghetto sitting over here now, several hundred of them. I see Jesus in those people that take the entire Sunday afternoon and teach those young folks how to dress and how to talk and good table manners. I see Jesus in those folks. I see Jesus in our deacon board who labors and has labored through these years to lead this church. I see Jesus in their cooperation and their service, unpaid, coming down here and spending hour upon hour and hour upon hour helping to lead in the work of this church. I see Jesus in our book table workers. I see Jesus in those who gave up beds and some slept on the floor, as I said this morning, that others might have beds. I see Jesus in our school teachers, those who work for so little, who could work for so much. Those in the Hammond Baptist Grade School who teach our over 800 students there. And Hammond Baptist Junior High and High School, the high schools, who teach our more than, I guess, 700 students in all of our high school, junior high complex. And those teachers that teach our, what will be over 1,500 students in Hiles Anderson College this year. And those that do without and don't get many new clothes to wear. And those that have to sacrifice and yet they give their lives and wouldn't think of going on a strike because they're not interested in a lot of money. They're interested in serving God and helping children. Would God we had a generation of school teachers across this land who would think more about the child than the almighty dollar and more about the education of children and building of character than their own convenience and comfort and so forth. Thank God for these. I see Jesus in these school teachers. I see Jesus in these, young lady, I've forgotten her name and I know it real well, that takes care of Phyllis Fenton. What's her name? Debbie Oaks. I see Jesus in Debbie Oaks, who's a young college girl, who's given her life to being Phyllis Fenton's friend, who carries Phyllis when she cannot walk, and I see them out here, sitting out here in service time when Phyllis is not able to come in the service. I see them sitting out there on the floor in this room, listening to me, and they may be out there right now. I see Jesus in that little lady. Oh, what a tragedy it is. We have so many great Christians here and so many unbelievable deeds here. What a tragedy. We go up and down these aisles, up and down these hallways, and Jesus is everywhere, and we never take time to see him. I see Jesus in the workers who work with the blind. I see Jesus, saw Jesus the other night in Sam Wooldridge when he brought those blind folks up here. When he came eyes, I did not see Jesus in Sam when he kept Wally Beebe out of the office area. But I saw Jesus in him. I saw Jesus Monday night in the eyes of Maxine Jeffries, who's become ears to the deaf people. I saw Jesus in Sam Wooldridge, who's become eyes to the blind people. I saw Jesus and Mrs. Houston and Mr. Houston and their workers and Mr. Wilson and his workers who work with those hundreds of retarded people in our church. I saw Jesus in them. Oh, while passing through this world, don't forget that there are little pictures of Jesus and reflections of Jesus. And we at First Baptist Church have more than any church in the whole world of people that live like Him and love like Him and serve like Him and work like Him. I see Jesus in those who walk with me down the alley and to my office and protect me. I see Jesus in John Colston as he serves in such a beautiful way with those who suffer, with those who are sick, with those who are sad and those who are fearful. I see Jesus in him. I see Jesus in those unsung heroes. Mrs. Colston put a note under my door tonight. I normally don't read my notes until I get on the airplane on Monday. And because I have a stack that high of people writing notes, some love notes and some asking to do certain things, I get on the airplane on Monday and I'll be going to Oregon tomorrow and I'll read those notes. But some reason I picked up the notes and thumbed through them a while ago. Saw Mrs. Colston note and she told me how that Jack Belby, I mentioned this morning, Jack Belby, a chauffeur deluxe, a man who took pride in meeting Dr. Rice at the airport and all the big preachers. And nobody ever did ride in the car with Jack Belby without feeling like they had first class treatment. They felt like they had, that they were the Shah of Iran. No, not the Shah of Iran anymore. How the Shah of Iran used to be, or some royalty. And Jack Belby was such a part of pastor school. I didn't know this. Jack is paralyzed. Jack cannot speak and be understood. He's completely paralyzed, I guess, with his whole body, I'm not sure. But Jack cannot speak. And he's up in years now. I guess Jack must be 65. I'm not sure how old he is. But anyway, his wife was at work. And Jack told his nurse, tried to speak to her, and couldn't make her understand. And through motions and so forth, he told her he wanted to get in the car this week. And she went out, and she didn't know where he wanted to go, he wanted to go. But he told her, and directed her, pointed with his best he could. He directed her, he wanted to come to pastor school. And she drove him up here, and he got out of the car and was helped, and he came right here in this auditorium. I didn't know this. Sat here for an hour during a lunch break, I guess, and just came on the platform, wasn't it, Elaine? Out in the audience, sat out here and watched the pastors for a while and remembered, I'm sure, all the contribution he used to make. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, we do not know when we're going to be shaving someday and our hand won't reach our face and we'll slump on the bathroom floor and we'll never be able to walk again. We do not know when the pain's going to pierce our heart and we'll slump over and our days of usefulness will be over. I see Jesus in Jack Belby as he came and wanted to be a part of pastor school one more time. I see him in the mighty army of people who serve God in this area. I see Jesus in those who work. I see Jesus in those who serve. But I hasten to say, I see Jesus in those who suffer. In 1 Peter 2:21, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His step. Listen to that. Listen. For hereunto, even, were ye also called. Yeah, called. God calls some to suffer. God calls some to preach. God calls some to suffer. God calls some to the mission field. God calls some to suffer. Listen. Suffering is as much a ministry for Jesus as soul winning is. Suffering. It's a calling. Hereunto were ye also called. I see Jesus in those who suffer. I saw Jesus last night in my study when Sharon Lord came in. She and her husband, Buddy. And I saw Jesus. Sharon, I knew, had sugar diabetes. I knew she'd had some problems. I didn't know what they were. I found out last night. I said, how you doing, Sharon? She went to Mayo Clinic, and they tested her and told her she had multiple sclerosis. Just got married not long ago. And now she's a lovely young lady. What a marvelous pianist she was. I think she was pianist at Howells Anderson College, wasn't she? as a freshman, and what a talent she was. And she came in last night, and she walked like this, and she had to be careful. And there she is. I guess Sharon couldn't be over 22. I was her preacher when she was born. I was her mom and dad's pastor when she was born. I went to the hospital and looked at her as a baby, when she was a baby. I was her pastor when she was a nursery baby. Then she grew up and came to Hiles Anderson College. She couldn't find a good husband, so she married Buddy. And what a sweet couple. And last night she sat there and smiled. And she said, I cried an awful lot at first. But she said, and her hands were sort of like that, and she said, I'm going to play the piano again. I'm going to play the piano again. Medical science says she can't, but don't bet against her. I saw Jesus last night as I closed the door for a while and put my head in my hands and said, oh my God, I hate the devil. I hate the devil. I hate what he brought because of sin. I hate the blight he brings. I hate the broken. I hate the castles he destroys. I hate the dreams he ruins. I hate the lives he wrecks. I hate the morals he shatters. I hate the future that he stops. I hate his liquor traffic. I hate his dope. I hate his Playboy magazine. I hate his nudity. I hate his new morality. I hate his permissive society. I hate him. And I'll be glad, blessed be God, when the devil shall be put under our feet and shall be destroyed. And once again, the enemy of our souls, the accuser of the brethren, is cast down. But until then, I see Jesus and those who suffer. I saw Jesus and Mr. Bruick when he had cancer, came to church as long as he could. And then when he couldn't sit up in a pew, too weak to sit up in a pew, he crawled on his hands and knees like a four-legged animal and crawled into that room over there where there's a speaker and laid down in that room to hear his preacher preach and did that till he was sick unto death and went to heaven. I saw Jesus in him. I saw Jesus in Mrs. Evans, who's been not well recently, but she's been teaching her class in spite of the fact that she's been sick. I see Jesus every time I walk down here and see little Phyllis Penton sitting over here on her tricycle. I see Jesus in little Phyllis. I see Jesus in the Houstons and the Wilstons leading a retarded group. I see Jesus in those who suffer. I see Jesus in the Wilsons with their little daughter with leukemia. I see Jesus in Glenn Smith and Iva May, who keep on smiling in spite of Glenn's serious illness in recent days. I saw Jesus when Dr. Rice stood before us last Thursday morning. 83 years of age, a heart attack from which he'll never fully recover, and his wife says he sets up much of the night and because he can't breathe well when he sleeps, and yet he keeps on going. I saw Jesus when he walked upon these steps last Thursday morning and preached to us. I see Jesus in John and Henry Clark, those deaf members of our staff, and I see Jesus when I look back here at these deaf people. I guess I see 100 of them back there tonight. And I see Jesus in them when they cannot hear the music. They could not hear Brother Wilbur sing the love of God. They could not hear the choir sing that beautiful song a while ago. They could not hear the quartet as they sang a while ago. And I see Jesus in them as they keep on going. I see Jesus in them when they meet me in the hallway and they'll say, I love you, and try, I love you, and try to say it like that. I see Jesus in them as they suffer. I see Jesus in those blind people. I see Jesus in the dear widows in our church, who keep on coming and keep on coming. I see Jesus in the students in our college who are unwelcome at home, who've been disowned with their parents because they want to serve God. I see Jesus in them. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Several years ago, I hit on this thing and this matter of being like Jesus. I'm not sure what I read. I got hold of some book. I read one time years ago. I read Andrew Murray's book on Christ-likeness, but somebody else's book I read, and I got to look in all the Bible, all the chapters of being like Jesus, and I'm not like him, but I want to be. I'm not what he is, but I wish I were. And that part of me which does not conform to his image, I don't like that part. And those times when I, every once in a while, on an occasional time, a little bitty glimpse of Christ-likeness might shine forth, just a touch, maybe, on my best day, I always feel better. Oh, to be like the blessed Redeemer, Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. Come in thy goodness, come in thy sweetness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. I see Jesus in our church. I see him in those who work. I see him in those who serve. I see him in those who suffer. And I see him in those who are humble. In Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He goes on to say later, he humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. It says he was obedient unto death. He humbled himself. And it said, let this mind be in you. What mind? The mind of humility. I see Jesus. I see Jesus in this humble man here. I mentioned a while ago, John Colston. I see him as he gets out of his car and climbs up some hospital steps and walks to a person who's apprehensive, who wonders if they'll ever leave the hospital room. And when John Colston walks in there, it's like Shekinah glory walking inside that room, as his bedside manner is akin to the manner of Christ himself. I see Jesus when Maxine Jeffries goes to a rest home. God bless that dear woman who has no no husband or children and has given her life to service for other people. I see her, she goes to a rest home, and there's an old lady or an older man that can't move, lying in a bed. Maxine stands there before them with the Word of God open and teaches a Sunday school lesson or teaches the Word of God to them. I see Jesus in her. I see Jesus in her as she stands over there right now and becomes ears for those people, and as she gives her life. And Maxine's not real well, if you'd like to know it. She's not the strongest person in the world. And well, she's strong, but she's not well. And I see Jesus. I see Jesus in Dr. Cowling. I see Jesus in Dr. Cowling, who was a professor at the PhD at the University of Tennessee and taught there in the science department for 11 years. I see Jesus in that man humbling himself to come to a small Christian college and take less than half the salary he had before. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in Dean Jorgensen with his degree from Princeton University, dean of our college. I see Jesus when Dean Jorgensen gets up on a icy, wintry, sub-zero, snowy Saturday morning and goes over here to some area and knocks on doors and tries to round up some bus kids to come to Sunday school. I see Jesus and Dean Jorgensen on Sunday morning. He gets up early in the morning, gets that old rickety bus. And there he is, the dean of our college with a degree from Princeton University. And there he is, out and around, rounding up his little crowd. I see Jesus when Dean Jorgensen comes up here with his little bus kit and lets him out on Sunday morning. I see Jesus there. Oh, I feel sorry for you people that live here and come Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And Jesus is everywhere around here. And you wonder where Jesus is. I see Jesus in those, and Mr. Walker over here last week, Mr. and Ms. Walker. I approved them to go back and work with retarded people. Mr. Walker is vice president of this bank over here on Hoosier State Bank. I see Jesus. Have seen so often when the Walkers go over there, and this man whose signature sways millions of dollars and many millions of dollars a year, and who's helped our church in so many, many ways. When I see him walking down the alley here, leading a 35-year-old man with the mind of a 3-year-old child, and working with those retarded people. And while we're here on Sunday morning, those dear people over there having their services in their building with retarded people, and some of them can't control their elimination even. And I see Jesus there. I see Jesus when these doctors in our church, we have 3 or 4 doctors here who have bus routes. I see Jesus in these men who lay aside their stethoscope on a Saturday and lay aside their blood pressure machine on a Sunday morning and lay aside their clinic and lay aside their work and lay aside their surgery. One who stands with a scalpel on a Friday morning doing open heart surgery, maybe, or having someone's life in his hands, and he humbles himself the next day to get out here and knock on doors in some ghetto area and tell little boys and girls that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, and then round them up on Sunday morning and bring them in here. I see Jesus then. I see Jesus' humility. When I see Elmer Fernandez, I see Jesus in Elmer. I see him when he works with these Spanish people. I see Jesus in Rose O'Brien, who started our Spanish ministry and has labored through these years to keep it going. And now Elmer helps her so beautifully. I see Jesus and Dr. Evans as he kneels beside some poor college student that can't pay his bill and tears rolling down his cheeks. And Dr. Evans says, oh, God, help the student somehow to stay in school. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in our school principals. We have 4 principals to our schools. As far as I know, all four of them have bus routes, and I see Jesus and those men who work with our schools and yet have bus routes and work with the poor little children. I see Jesus. You know, I love Mexican food. I don't eat Mexican food much anymore. You said, you have an ulcer? No, I have a church, and they affect your stomach the same way as an ulcer. And but I love it. Oh, I love enchiladas. Oh, I'm not talking about the kind that are dry. I'm talking about the kind that are spicy, and that you pour the spiciest chili you can pour on top of them, and put cheese in the middle, and roll that cheese up in a soft taco. Is that what it is? Soft taco. Not taco. Tortilla, and then pour that chili on it. I mean the old ulcerated kind of Mexican food. I love it. I love tamales. Hot tamales, the kind that are wrapped in corn shucks. Ah, shucks, those things are good. And I love them. I love Mexican beans. Oh, hush. I love Mexican rice. I love jalapeno peppers. When you eat one, you got to call the fire department. I love those things. And every once in a while, I'll drink about a gallon of milk for 2 days, a gallon of milk a day for 2 days, and get my stomach in good shape, and take about a bucket of colanal gel or dye gel or something, and get my stomach all coated with concrete, you know, and get myself all ready. And I'll go to some Mexican restaurant. Russell Anderson and I were down in Dallas, Texas, and he wanted to go to a big restaurant. Went to El Phoenix restaurant and walked in, and a very lovely Mexican lady met us. And she said, where would you like to sit? And Russell said, on a chair. And he's a Kentucky hillbilly. Hadn't got much sense. Who cares about sense with all that money? But anyway, he's hearing this on tape. And God bless you, my dear buddy. But we're still friends. And but anyway, we walked in and had a seat. And so the Mexican a bunch of Mexican folks are playing orchestra. And somebody said, any special I want to play? I said, play South of the Border, down Mexico way. And they played South of the Border. And then here a fella came and stood beside us with a big Mexican hat on and with a Mexican clothes. And the Mexican were playing the Mexican numbers and Mexican type decoration on the walls. And then they brought in, oh, my, that guacamole salad, oh my soul, with the onions chipped up in it just right and sprinkled with lemon juice, and put on a big head of lettuce and all those big toasted tortillas, the frito kind, that and you dip down in that, let's stand for our closing prayer, you dip down in that and you And you put it in your mouth, and the onions, and the avocado, and all the rest, and the lettuce, and oh how good! And we ate that, and then they brought us some cheese tacos. I mean the kind that have melted cheese all over them, and we ate that. Then they brought us the tamales and hot tamales, and we ate those. And they brought us the tacos, and then the enchiladas, and oh, blessed be God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank God for angels' food. And but now wait a minute. What is it? In those Mexican restaurants, somebody has gone to Mexico and they brought back Mexican people and they serve. And they brought back Mexican music and they play it. And they brought back Mexican decor and they decorate the room with it. And they brought back Mexican food. And right there in Dallas, Texas, is a little Mexico. And that's what the Lord wants us to be. Everywhere we go, there ought to be a little heaven everywhere we go. Fanny Crosby said, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. And John Peterson said, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I'm saying, listen, where you work, you ought to sing heaven's music, and you ought to talk heaven's language, and you ought to live heaven's life, and you ought to have heaven's love, and you ought to have heaven's humility everywhere you go. Lady came to me this morning. She said, my boss is a Baptist deacon. Thank God, not here. She says, a Baptist deacon. Said, he's good to me because I'm a Christian. But the other people that work there, he's an old goat to them all the time. He's an ogre. He's not nice. He's not courteous. And they say, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want to be one. Let me tell you something, buddy. Folks where you work ought to know that you act like Jesus, and you ought to reflect Jesus wherever you work. Let others see Jesus in you. Be faithful, be loving and true. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you, in his humility. I see Jesus in the laying down of our lives. For in 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. So ought we to lay down our lives for the brethren. I see Jesus. I saw Jesus the other night, or the morning rather. I was at the airport and saw John R. Rice get on an airplane. His steps are very short now, and his breath is very short, but he keeps on going. I heard him say in Baton Rouge, he said, folks, he said, I could be in Florida in a cottage. I could be driving a Cadillac in Florida and playing golf all day. I've earned it, he said. I'm 83. I've worked hard. I've earned it. And he could. He could be down there living in a beautiful home with chauffeurs and Cadillacs and golf and bowling and shuffleboard and resting. Yes, he could. But I watched him get on the airplane. And I watched him go up the steps. I looked at him. I saw Jesus there. I saw Jesus in his laying down his own life. I see Jesus in the laying down of her life, in a college student's wife who leaves her home and leaves her house and leaves her nice arrangements back home and comes to Hiles Anderson College and lives in some little old apartment, but she works in the nursery maybe, or she comes soul winning on Saturday morning for the Foster Club, or on Friday morning for the soul-winning group, and she teaches a Sunday school class, and she's a loving wife, and she tries to do what's right, and she tries to be cheerful, but she's homesick and lonely for a husband. I see Jesus in her. I see Jesus in evangelists who've given their lives to travel all across this country, and in the wives and children staying at home while the servant of God is taking the message to others. I see Jesus in her Lester Roloff going to jail for teenagers and their lives. I see Jesus in our David Gibbs giving up his law practice, you might say, so he might defend you and me and our institutions in court. I see Jesus in a school teacher who lays down her life or his life and sacrifices. I see Jesus in a young couple leaving a career for college, laying down their own lives. I see Jesus in a couple leaving for the mission field. I think at least once a week I stop and think about the Carters over in Japan. And I stop and think about the gardeners over in Japan and our other missionaries, the Dan Johnsons down in Brazil, and our missionaries. And I wonder if they wouldn't like to be in a service like this tonight. I wonder if their thoughts and minds don't turn toward home. I see Jesus when I see them as they say goodbye to mom and dad and grandmother and grandfather and country and church and friends and school and city and neighborhood and customs. I see them as they go to a people they know not, to learn language they know not, to live in a society of which they know not, and that they give them, they lay down their lives. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in an Al Janney leaving his church to go to Washington to try to help us to stay free. I see Jesus in a man giving up his vacation to come to pastor school and working hard during his vacation. I see Jesus in a young man giving up baseball. I was thinking yesterday, remember when Roy Moffitt was a pitcher, about Paul Moffitt, Roy Moffitt. Roy Moffitt was he was the softball champion of the girls' gym class in school, but Paul was a first string pitcher for Hammond High baseball team, just a freshman in high school. He pitched some good games and had his picture in the paper and a big write up about him, and scouts out looking at him while he's pitching. Had 3 more years in high school. We started Hammond Baptist High School. I called Paul in and I said, Paul, Paul, you ought to go to Hammond Baptist High School. And he said, but Brother Hiles, he said, my baseball, I love it. And he wrestled and wrestled and we prayed and I counseled. And finally one day Paul came and said, preacher, I'm going to give it up. Now that's not easy for a young man to give up baseball when he has a future like that. And now then, he went to Hammond Baptist High School. And now he went to Hiles Anderson College. And now he's now the head of the school down here, this bus kid school down here. That's Paul Moffitt, and he's down there serving God. I see Jesus in him. I see Jesus in Jim Rossman. I see Jesus in Jim Rossman with his master's degree down here teaching these kids over here about the things of God and helping get a good education, laying down their own lives. I see Jesus not only in the humble ones around here. I see him not only in those who work and those who serve and those who lay down their lives, but I see Jesus in separation from the world. those who are separate from the world. I see Jesus. 1 John 4:17. As I am, so are ye in this world. You know why I'm not supposed to drink in this world? Because he didn't drink in this world. You know why I'm not supposed to curse in this world? Because he didn't curse in this world. You know why I'm not supposed to live a wicked life in this world? Because he didn't live a wicked life. I am to be as separate from this world as Jesus was. Oh, people say, oh, how are you going to win them? If you get aloof. I'm not talking about being aloof. I'm talking about not dressing like the world. I'm talking about not wearing your hair like the world. I'm talking about not using the lingo of the world. I'm talking about not singing the dirty rock beat of the world. I don't care what kind of word you put to it. The beat's sensuous. I'm talking about being different. I'm talking about being peculiar. I'm talking about being separate. I'm talking about being clean. I'm talking about being pure. I'm talking about being not conformed to this heathen world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds. We might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I see Jesus. I see Jesus every time I see Pam Moffitt. Used to be Pam Good Pastor, come down the aisle of the hallway as she works in the office. I remember she wasn't allowed to go to Hammond Baptist Schools. She went to Hammond Tech, wasn't it, son? Hammond Tech. And she wouldn't dress like they dress. And they called her names and they made fun of her. But she kept her testimony clean and right, and she did not dip her sails one time. You know, finally, because of it all, time came to elect the homecoming queen. And who got elected? Pam, Good Pastor, got elected. And it came time to crown her at halftime. And Pam, Good Pastor, walked out. What song they play? Huh? The Cason song? No. What song they play? Miss America song? No. What song the band play? As our Pam, Good Pastor, walked out and they crowned her homecoming queen, the band of Hammond Tech began to play Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. I'm not concerned about the area liking us. I'm concerned about the area not faulting us because we're not like Jesus. I'm not concerned if folks say, hey, bunch of nuts always going soul winning. It doesn't bother me. It does bother when they say they don't pay their debts. That bothers me. It bothers me when they say they're not friendly. They're not courteous. That bothers me. We're supposed to walk up and down these streets like Jesus would. We're supposed to love like Jesus would. We're supposed to be separated like Jesus. And then not only do I see Jesus in those, but I see Jesus in those who forgive. For Colossians 3:13 says, forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you. That youth worker that's criticized who forgives, I see Jesus there. That much maligned teacher at the high school that's criticized by parents that don't understand or overly protective, and yet she forgives. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in you who forgive my weaknesses and my mistakes. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in the parents whose children have gone astray and disown their own parents, and yet the parents forgive and receive them back. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus in forgiveness. I could count 10 people in this room. 10 people in this room on whose notes I've gone in the last 20 years. I count up this afternoon over $9,000 people in this room right here tonight. I've gone on their notes and I've had to pay over $9,000 out of my own pocket. You say, yeah, Brother Howe, they did you dirty. No, I count a privilege. I went on one fellow's note for $2,000 about 10, 12 years ago. He's here tonight. I wouldn't take it if he gave it to me. You say, well, Bill Howes, that's not right. It wasn't right for what I did to Jesus either. I'm simply saying we ought to forgive and love each other and bury axes and hatchets and hurt feelings and bitternesses. You heard me tell about the time when Linda almost died. 17 years ago, 4 years of age she was, when she almost died. And how that I, from that day to this, I've not participated in criticizing God's men or God's servants or God's churches. But shortly after I made it right, when Linda was at the point of death, I made it right and told God I'd never be critical again of his preachers, his churches, or his schools. I took a 2-day trip I flew to places all across this country and asked people to forgive me. A preacher I'd criticized years ago, I went to see him and asked him to forgive me. I went to a deacon and asked him to forgive me. And I made it right with everybody as far as I knew in the whole world that I knew that I was not right with. And I can say this truthfully. I'm not a good Christian. I have so much I've not apprehended yet and so much I've not conquered yet or accomplished yet. But God knows this is true. I'm not going to live what little life I've got left unforgiving. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to live what little life I've got left with a bitter heart against anybody. I'm not going to do it. You know this pulpit's got bulletproofing in it. You know that's bulletproofing right up there. You know that. You know there are men down here on the front right now that are watching the crowd. You know that. You know there are men who meet me at my office and protect me as I walk over here. You know that. You know I dasn't ever keep a drape open in our house. You know that. You know how people hate me. You know the criticism I get. I can't help that. I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I wish it weren't so, but I can't help it. But there's one thing, bless God, I can do. I can keep that right there. Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's nothing in this world that'll rock your power and rock God's blessings upon you like a heart that's unforgiving. Jesus said, forgive as I have forgiven. And then I see Jesus in those who have compassion. I see Jesus in those who are compassionate. For it says in Matthew 18:33, shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? I see Jesus in that couple who take that little bus kid down and buy him a new outfit and put the first pair of new shoes on he's ever had on his feet and the first new shirt on his back and the first little new trousers on his legs and the first little new coat around his shoulders. I see Jesus in that couple. I see Jesus in that bus worker who gives up his own money. Got a letter of the day. Bus kid said, no, what a bus kid. Little child said, I've got the best Sunday school teacher I ever had. His name is Johnny Murphy. I'm glad that scoundrel's good for something. He stole my daughter. It's a good time he did something good. But he says, his name is Johnny Murphy. Mr. Murphy. He said he took me down and bought me a whole new outfit. I see Jesus there. I see Jesus and you folks that are sacrificing to pay poor kids' way through a Christian school. I see Jesus there. And then I see Jesus in love, those who love. John 15:12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. I see Jesus. You know, I'll go all over the country now. And everywhere I go, I'll go to Portland tomorrow. And the next week, where I go, I'll go to Philadelphia the next week. And the next week to San Diego. And the next week to Seattle. And on it goes. And I'll be going, everywhere I go, there'll be people who are at pastor school this week. And this is what it always is. And somebody introduced me. They'll say, Dr. Jack Hiles is going to speak. They'll say, listen, you've heard a lot of bad things about Dr. Hiles. Why do they always say that? They always say that. But you go to his church. And they'll say this. They'll say, you go to church, you'll leave with one word on your lips. Love. That's what they'll say. They'll say, you'll see more love in his church than you'll see anywhere in the whole world. Love is the theme. Love is supreme. Sweeter it grows. Glory bestows. Bright is the sun. Ever it glows. Love is the theme. Eternal theme. This is not a new story. Told it often. The years I pastored here. When Dave was at home, I always go to church early in the morning, come back after I've counseled a long time, get home late. And Dave always waited. Even when he was a little bit of child, a little bit of boy, he always waited for his dad. And he waited and rode home with me. By the time Dave was, I guess, 2 years of age, the time he could walk, by the time he got married, he'd ride home with me till a brunette came and broke up our happy relationship and took him off and ran off with him. And Jezebel broke up a happy home. But Dave always rode with me. And then after Dave left home, Cindy started riding with me. And Cindy now has been, how long have you married, son? 3 years? 3 years. And now, for these 3 years, Cindy waits for me Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, always does, no matter how late, she waits for me. And now an Ahab has come in and is going to break up that relationship. And in 2 months from the first of next month, she's going to run off with him and leave me. I've got twice as much as he's got anywhere. I mean, I'm twice. Anyway, but anyway, when Dave was a boy, I'll never forget it. We came home one morning from Sunday school, and Dave couldn't talk very plainly. And he had been in his class that morning, and I said, "Son, what did you learn in Sunday school this morning?" He looked up at me with his dark, brown, mean-looking eyes, and he said, he got from his dad, and he said, "Learned about God." And I said, "Son, what did you learn about God this morning?" And Brother Dave said, "I learned that God loves me more than anybody loves me." I said, "Son, that's wonderful. What else did you learn about God?" He said, "I learned that God spanks me when I do bad, and does he spank?" And I said, "Yes, he does, son." "What else did you learn about God this morning in Sunday school?" And Dave said, "I learned that after God spanks me, he picks me up in his arms and tells me that he loves me, and that it hurt him worse than it hurt me. Hey, Dad, are you God?" And I said, "No, son, I'm not God. But I hope when you've lived in our home 18, 20 years, and you go to the service, or you get married, or you go out for your last chosen field, I hope you'll still wonder if your old dad is God." For 20 years I've been pastor of this church. Almost. 20 years I've stood before you. 20 years I've sat in my study and counsel with you. 20 years I've buried you dead and married you young and wept with you when you weep. 20 years I've taken this old book and preached it to you and taught it to you, and God knows we've been through it in this book for 20 years. The thing I'd rather somebody say than any other single thing. Not, "Dr. Hiles, you're a great leader." No, truth is I'm not. "Dr. Hiles, you're a great preacher." I'm not anywhere close to that, I know it. But I wish maybe somebody, sometime along the way, occasionally, could see just a little glimpse. Maybe. Just a little glimpse. Folks, Jesus doesn't live in heaven. Except as we live in heaven. If this old sin-cursed area ever sees his love, we've got to show him his love. We've got to let him reflect in us. That's the only chance Hammond has to see his love. Jesus doesn't work at the steel mill, but you can be a little Jesus there. Jesus doesn't go to the school, but you can be a little Jesus there. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. Oh, to be like thee, pure as thou art. We met at the Civic Center for several months. I came back one day to talk to folks after the service. I got out of my car over here where I parked. A little kid in the parking lot out here started looking at me. Funny thing. He looked at me from the back, the front, and either side. Looked me over, up and down. Of course, specimen like I am, I can understand why. And he looked at me. Somebody pull that tooth, that fellow that's groaning over there. And I said, "Son, what is it?" And that little boy walked up to me and he said, "Mister, is you Jesus?" And I said, "Son, what do you mean?" He said, "A bus captain came to see me yesterday over North Chicago. He told me if I'd come out to Hammond, I could meet Jesus. He said, you look like you're the boss here. Don't forget that." And he said, "You look like you're the boss. Everybody talks to you," said, "I figured you must be Jesus." And I said, "No, son, I'm not Jesus, but I can take you to him, introduce you to him." He said, "Where is he?" Poor kid, he didn't know. I took him to my office and told him the story of Christ, and he was saved, I think. He walked out the door. I closed it. He knocked on the door again. I went to the door and opened it. He said, "Mister, are you sure you ain't Jesus?" I said, "Yes, son, I'm sure." Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if somebody could say of you? I'm saying this. They said, Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And some say you're John the Baptist. They got John the Baptist mixed up with Jesus. And some say you're Jeremiah. Jeremiah lived so much like Jesus, some folks thought Jesus was Jeremiah. And some say you're Elijah. They got Elijah lived so much like Jesus, some folks thought he was Jesus. Or one of the prophets. Anybody get you mixed up with Jesus? Huh? Second tonight, we ought to flush out the old un-Christ-likeness. And reckon we ought to lay ourselves before His presence and say, "Dear Jesus, clean me up." You see, the other day I was in a motel and I was washing my hair. I washed this one and then I washed this one. And I was washing my hair. And I washed it with real hot water and I showered first. And I tried to look in the mirror, but the steam had gotten all over the mirror. Big mirror in the bathroom, all across the side of it. And I couldn't see. The steam was there. I wonder if the same thing's happened to you. Huh? Something keeps you from reflecting Jesus. Huh? His love, His compassion, His humility, His work, His ministering, His suffering. To be like Jesus, to be like Him, all I ask, to be like Him. All through life's journey, through hill and valley, all I ask, to be like Him.